Welcome to episode 504 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Donna, Lindsay, and George. When you think of Switzerland, what comes to mind? Chocolate? Cheese? Swiss watches? That's hard to say. It's a tongue twister. The Alps? Switzerland offers all of these in spades. You definitely want to add this country to your list if it is not already on it. Donna took her son to Switzerland for spring break and is here to tell us all about her experience. So let's get started. So Donna, why Switzerland for spring break? That's not the sunny, typical destination that you think of.
Connor picked it.
Okay.
That is actually the whole thing. I said, I have got a meeting in Amsterdam because I was going to the River Cruise Expo. And his spring break was the week before. And we had $700 vouchers with Delta. And I said, okay, where do you want to go? Said, somewhere, anywhere in Europe, because I've already got to be there. And he's like, I want to go to Switzerland. I want to go to Switzerland. And he's been saying this for years, actually. So Switzerland it was.
So was this the first time for both of you in Switzerland?
No, I had actually already been there.
Went skiing, right?
I went skiing and flew into Geneva.
Okay.
And went to Montreux for the Christmas markets.
Okay.
It was kind of still cold time of year, but I hadn't been to Switzerland in general. So
this was March, right?
Yes. Which is a great time to go, because it's the shoulder season. And this was a Globus tour, and they offer, if you go January through March, they have reduced rates.
Okay.
So it actually can save you some money doing it this way.
So Globus is guided tour. You're on a bus. They take care of all your stuff for you.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. So where did you start?
We started out in Zurich, and there was a city tour of Zurich, and we got to walk around, and of course they took us to an amazing little chocolate shop, and you know, we got some macarons and we got some pastries, and we learned a little bit about the city, and we walked on the river front. But we had chocolate, and that was the first. It's like every day we had to have chocolates. So
what's better, just kind of side note, Swiss chocolate or Belgian chocolate?
I have to, Belgian.
Okay.
Sorry to say.
Sorry, Swiss.
I mean, Swiss chocolate is awesome.
Milk is my second love, but
it just doesn't quite compare. It doesn't melt in your. I think it's got a higher point, temperature point, because it doesn't melt quite as much as a Belgian chocolate.
Okay, noted. I am a big fan of Belgian chocolate, but I have not had fresh Swiss chocolate yet. So,
but there's nowhere in the world to get better fondue or raclette.
That is true. That is very true.
That's a good point. All right. So how many nights were you in Zurich?
Just overnight. So we basically flew in, they took us to our hotel, one of the things is that Globus also does a couple of dinners. And so we had dinner the first night where we kind of introduced ourselves and introduced us to our guide for the week. Judith was actually from, I believe, Poland, but she had been doing lots of tours for Globus for many, many, many years. So she knew her stuff.
What was the makeup? Because you're there with a young adult. Mm-hmm. And so what was like the age ranges of people on the tour with you?
Most everybody was actually my age.
Okay.
So kind of middle-aged.
Because no, you're not. You're not.
Wasn't okay. Quite. Well, I'm not 20 anymore.
Yeah, but you're not 50, right?
No.
Okay.
Most everybody were married couples. There was another mother-son, basically couple. that was there, but most everybody was married. North Carolina spring breaks are very, very early in March. They're the first week of March. And so you really didn't have that spring break crowd. So most people were taking just a vacation, or they were retired and they were just traveling.
Okay. Was there anyone his age to hang out with? Did he like...
There was the one guy. Yeah, he was he was in his 20s, and he was from Miami, but they... Conrad pretty much stuck with me. So
okay, cool. All right, so you check out of your hotel in Zurich. Where do you guys go next?
Well, that's actually when we went to Zurich and we did the city tour, and they took us down. And then once we finished the city tour, and then we went to Neuchâtel. That's actually where they make the Swiss watches, is in Neuchâtel. Okay. That region. And it was just this little quaint little town. And they stopped for lunch. And so Connor and I actually went to the grocery. We couldn't find a restaurant we really wanted to eat at, so we went to the grocery store and had what I call a European picnic right on the waterfront. And so we had, you know, we got a baguette and some, you know, some ham and some cheese and a couple of pieces of fruit and some cookies and a couple of drinks, and we were all set.
That actually sounds really good.
Making me hungry.
Yeah.
Always I do that a lot when I'm in Europe, because I mean, it's just sometimes it's so expensive to eat in a restaurant that you can just run by the grocery store and spend, you know, a couple of euros and just sit outside amongst the birds.
To hear your opinion on the overall restaurants you went to, because I just spent like a month in Switzerland last year, a little over a month, and I did not care for as expensive as the kind of food that we would normally get would be. The quality of it wasn't what you would think it would be, in comparison to buying, doing what you did, going to the grocery store and getting the bread, getting the, you know, having your little charcuterie board or whatever, and making your own thing. And that's, you know, if you watch the locals there, that's what they do. They're going to get that little ham and cheese baguette thing from the, it looks like a quick service gas station type thing, but it's in the grocery stores. And that's the smartest thing to do in situations.
Well,
like that.
Like I said, we couldn't find a restaurant that we really just, we weren't that hungry and all, and we wanted to just to snack. And you're right. That is actually something you need to know about Switzerland, is that the Swiss franc is quite a bit higher than the dollar. So the first time Connor and I went to lunch and we had a full, like, you know, meal, it was $80 for lunch. Mm-hmm. That's something you need to expect when you go to Switzerland.
And I don't know about
it's going to be more than you think it will be.
But we had a lot of mediocre, my mother-in-law and I had a lot of mediocre meals for over $100.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't a fancy lunch. It was like a sandwich and, you know, a vegetable and bread and a beer. So.
So did you guys spend the night in that town, or did you?
No, we actually traveled on to Montreux.
Okay.
Montreux is actually a beautiful, beautiful city. It actually reminds me very much of the French Riviera.
Yeah.
It has that feel to it because it is on the French side. It's right on the water, on Lake Geneva. You're overlooking the water, and then you've got the French Alps basically on the other side. It's absolutely gorgeous. And we walked down to they have a big jazz festival there every year, the Montreux Jazz Festival. And actually Freddie Mercury actually lived there and produced a couple of records there. And so there's a statue of him right on the waterfront. And you can, of course it was dark when we went, but I had to get my picture next to Freddie because, you know, he's one of my idols.
Queen, nice. All right. And what is Chillon?
Chillon, that was actually, it's a medieval fortress that we toured. It's right on, it's basically at the end of Montreux, and we went over there, and it was heavily fortified, and it you have to understand that Switzerland was actually run by the Bernese, and it was run by several different empires. And so that particular fortress, basically, if you controlled that fortress, you controlled all the trade, because that was the only road that would go basically between the different cities in Switzerland. And so, of course, they were charging taxes and everything. And if you owned that castle, fortress, then you were very important and you had lots of money. So it fell quite a few times, but it was still in very decent shape because it never got sacked. Most people actually, they were like, they just couldn't withstand the siege and they walked away.
Okay. Some cool history. All right. And so the next town looks like you're.
So we did a side trip. Okay. So this is one of those things with you can actually add excursions through Globus. Now, this one did cost a little extra, but I, you know, it was cheese. So, you know.
So worth it.
It was definitely going to happen. So we actually traveled to Gruyere. The city of Gruyere, and we had, they took us to lunch at a cheese fondue place and had cheese fondue. after that, we had some free time, and I went up to the H.R. Giger Museum and Bar, and Connor had his very first, you know, beer that he ordered himself.
Because Europe, yeah.
In the Giger Bar, and nice. So we sat there and drank a beer, and I had a shot in the Giger Bar, and...
Did you have the coffee flight with the meringue?
Oh, no, because I don't drink coffee.
Oh, so that's one of the coolest places I've ever been. And
it is really neat.
The contrast of being there, and the day that I did that, I went and did the castle. So I have to ask, this tour, was this an excursion they offered you?
Correct.
You could go, yes. Okay. And with that excursion.
You could have stayed in Montreux for the day.
You got to do the museum, the bar, and
I did not. So we didn't have that kind of time. So we just, Connor and I went to the bar and we sat down and had a beer, and then we had to skedaddle because we were headed to the Caille Chocolate Factory.
That museum is amazing.
If I'd had more time, I would definitely have gone in.
And I was surprised because I didn't think my mother-in-law, I thought it was a little risque for taking my mother-in-law, but. She's a good egg.
Yes.
So the restaurant that you ate at, was it the one that's inside the museum?
No, it's the bar across the street, basically across the alley.
Okay.
So we sat down in, you know, the alien chairs.
Oh, I remember seeing your pictures of this. Yeah, yes. That did look really cool.
It is really neat.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we went to the Caille Chocolate Factory, and Caille was the original Swiss chocolate, and they're the ones who actually learned how to make milk chocolate.
Okay.
Never before. I mean, they'd always done dark chocolate before, but Mr. Caille figured out how to incorporate milk into, because this is a dairy area. Where they make the Gruyere, where they make the cheese and all. And so he had lots of milk and he was trying to figure out how to mix the chocolate and milk to make it a solid product. And he did. Nestle ended up buying him out in, I believe, between World War I and World War II. So Nestle now owns Caille Chocolates. And we toured the factory and we got to see, you know, how they made the chocolate. And of course we got to taste all along the way. Then of course we had to, you know, eat the chocolates. Oh, darn.
Oh, Lindsay, you still have chocolate from your trip?
Oh, so do I. Of course.
I still have chocolate from Switzerland, so I had to go get my...
Okay, yes. But don't you want to eat it kind of soon? You don't want it to be like... Oh,
well, that's the
right.
thing is chocolate doesn't go bad.
It doesn't go bad that way.
Because
even a
bacteria
year old
will not live on chocolate. So chocolate doesn't go bad. It oxidizes, but it does not go bad.
I will. Good. I will. If I die, you'll know.
All right. Taste test here. Is it still good?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Well, the problem that happens is that I couldn't finish my Swiss chocolate because I went to Belgium and brought home Belgium chocolate.
I mean, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, you're not wasting that, so yeah.
Hey, but I'm going back to Switzerland in 2 weeks, so I'm going to buy some more Cahier chocolates while I'm there. So
valid. All right, cool. So next, how do you say this next town? Bern?
Bern. Yes, Bern. Okay. So Bern is when you hear the Bernese Mountain Dogs, that's where they come from.
Oh, those are so cute. Okay.
Nice. And basically, so the Bern, the symbol for the Bernese people is the bear. And so they actually have had bears there since, you know, the beginning of time. And they've got a bear pit. Now, the bears were, you know, kind of hibernating because it was still March and it was cold and rainy and wet and nasty all that day. But so they do have a bear pit, and you can actually go visit the bears. And then they took us up to the Rose Garden. Of course, you know, it's March, so there weren't any roses blooming, but the tulips were, and the daffodils were starting to come up. So, spring was on its way. And then they walked us through the city and actually took us around to the different areas. And actually, Bern is where Lindt chocolate got its start.
Okay. I know that one.
Yes. Well, you can't get Cahier because it's made with unpasteurized milk. That's why you can't get it in the United States. But Lindt is made with pasteurized milk, so you can get it here.
Did you guys have an organized meal there, or did you have free time to go to the brewery?
No, we really didn't have much time because then we left there and we went to, this was just like a half day. And then we drove through the Swiss countryside to Emmental, and it started snowing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, okay. It was so beautiful. And of course, we stopped for a potty break, and they took us to the Cambly Biscuit Factory. Cambly Biscuits basically uses the Cahier chocolates to make some of their cookies.
Right, because it's not like what we think of as biscuits.
No,
right?
it's cookies. It's all cookies. It's a cookie. Yeah, they did have like pretzels and things like that. And they had chocolate covered goldfish. I bought some of those for Alex. They were very interesting because it was like weird. A pretzel goldfish, and then they covered it in chocolate.
I mean, I'm all about some.
Pretzels are good.
Yeah, I like chocolate covered.
Oh my gosh. Those, if you like Girl Scout cookies, if you had those mint Girl Scout cookie chocolate covered pretzels from Costco, that's great. But goldfish?
Yes, chocolate. And she's like, they were different. I like them, but they were different.
Well, pretzel goldfish are pretzels, you know? Yes. That makes sense.
Let us stop there. And it was of course, I spent $100 in, you know,
goldfish?
Cookies. I couldn't stop buying beer. I was buying like local beer, and there's some really great local craft breweries in that area in Gruyere. And so I was in like the market, and I was buying. I had all these bottles of beer, and then I was taste testing this beer. And
I bought beer too.
Did any of this beer make it home, or did it disappear by the end of your trip?
Oh no, it all disappeared. None of that made it home.
Mine always comes home. Because that's my admission ticket to go. So I have to bring it home.
So then Lucerne. This one I've heard of.
Now, when you see pictures of Switzerland, usually at least one of them is the mountains, and the other one is the picture of Lucerne and the covered bridge, because this covered bridge has been there since medieval times. So they took us to the famous lion statue as well. And then we did a city tour, and then we went downtown and actually walked on the covered bridge. It's a beautiful area, and we did spend the night there, so we actually got to get a little free time, and then I went and, you know, found my raclette, had raclette for dinner. Mm-hmm. And the next day, they took us up to Mount Pilatus, and this was one of those things, this was also an additional excursion that cost extra. And I was very concerned. I was like, I talked to Judith, and I said, what if we get up there and we can't see anything? I mean, if it's not clear, if it's all, you know, socked in with snow or whiteout conditions, what do we do? And she's like, well, we actually cancel the trip. that cancel that excursion. So we do watch the weather, but the weather's been good, which was very interesting because we got there and we got on the gondola. Now, they do have a cog railroad that they run in the summer months, but they can't rent it in the winter because it runs on steam, and the engine will freeze. Okay. So they can't run it in the winter when it's too cold. They run it in the summer. So they take you up the gondola and then take you down the railroad, or they take you up the railroad and down the gondola in the summer months. But we did the gondola both ways.
Yeah. And it's not just one gondola straight up there. You have to change gondolas.
Yes.
Oh, really?
So you take...
luggage.
You take a couple of very small cars, and they take you up, you know, to a couple of different spots where they've got, you know, vacation homes and things like that. And that we got on the gondola, and we had whiteout conditions. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, it was beautiful and very peaceful, but, you know.
So not like windy and scary.
Not windy and scary. Just you couldn't see anything. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. But then we popped out above the clouds because they were very low-laying clouds. And then you saw this amazing alpine range with Jungfrau and Eiger and all these huge mountains that you've, you know, heard about. And you're standing on the top of Mount Pilatus, and they have, you know, a little visitor center and everything. And it was so warm, I was like stripping off clothes, and, you know, and I didn't have sunglasses. I had to buy sunglasses. Oh. Because I couldn't see because it was so bright, and it was reflecting off of the snow.
Yeah.
But it was so beautiful, and I would highly recommend, if you're doing Lucerne, stay an extra day and go up to the gondolas and do that. Definitely worthwhile.
Did you climb up to the viewing area?
No, because they had it closed because it had snowed the night before, and they hadn't shoveled it.
Oh.
They were in the process of shoveling it while we were there, so you couldn't actually go up to the top.
I did it. I ran out of our dinner because we stayed at the hotel there on top of the mountain, and I ran out of the dinner because I didn't want to miss sunset. And then I had to haul my out of shape self up.
Yeah, it's a steep path
to the viewing area, and I thought I was going to die. But I'm like, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die with the beautiful view.
It's gonna be worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, they had it closed because it hadn't been shoveled. So
was that particular tour part of the included one, or was
no? This was a little extra. Okay. So
that sounds like it was worth it, though, and you definitely would.
It was. It definitely was. So
okay. So you didn't end in Lucerne. It looks like you ended in Lugano.
Yes, Lugano. So we basically kind of started out on the German side, and then we went to the French side. And then we basically went to the Italian side. So, because Switzerland was actually kind of run by all those three different countries at one time, and it became its own entity. And so, and it still actually maintains that identity of the country that it was part of. So Lugano's the Italian side.
So many people live across the border and commute into work. And
yes.
Live. And I don't know if you noticed this, Donna, because I did quite a different, even though you went some of the same places, did a little bit of a different way of touring around on trains and stuff. And but I noticed and really felt that the food quality improved greatly.
Oh, it did.
The Italian border and the French border.
It did. It did. So, yeah, because we went to this pizza place, and it was actually one of the least expensive meals that we had. Mm-hmm. And it was an amazing pizza, and we had, you know, drinks and everything. And it was the least expensive, and it was like $40 for dinner instead of, you know, $80. So,
nice.
But Lugano was located on Lake Lugano, and they didn't have some of the ferries running because it was too early in the season. Mm-hmm. And so we spent the day actually going in. We went into Lugano and took the day and actually explored Lugano. And they had, because it was a Saturday, they had the Saturday markets. So they had all the food stalls and the vegetables and things like that. They did offer a trip to Lake Como for a day trip. And again, that would have been extra, but we opted not to do that because I was like, if I want to go to Lake Como, I want to go to Lake Como. So, you know, I don't want to just spend a couple hours there. I'd rather spend a couple of days there. So we ended up not doing that. And plus we had to pack because Connor, we had to clear out the next day and head to the airport.
Do you feel like the amount of activity they had on that tour, do you feel like it was demanding or a demanding itinerary, the included things, or do you feel like it was a little bit more relaxed?
It was relaxed, but there was a little bit too much bus time. That was my only complaint, is that I think so. We started in Zurich and drove all the way across the country to get to Montreux. It's like we should have just stayed in Geneva.
Yeah,
that would have been my ideal thing, is basically come into Geneva and then actually spend, you know, the night in Geneva, and then we would have had a very short day. You know, I mean, it's a 45-minute drive instead of, you know, all day. So.
Did you go on any trains at all? Because
no trains. That'll be next time.
I'll say we got to go back, and I found some amazing breweries there. I found that brewery in a train station, and there.
Yeah, you were like living there, right?
I pretty much moved to Switzerland with my mother-in-law. Sorry, husband.
But yeah, we ended in Lugano and. The closest airport out of there is about a hour and a half drive to Milan.
Mm. Oh, and then you did the Milan. Yeah, we did a podcast about Milan.
We did.
Because that made total
sense. I love that when you say Milan, it sounds like Mulan, and I can't tell the difference.
I'm not the Disney person. Remember that.
It's Sandy's accent.
Oh, me?
Yeah. You said it sounded like Mulan.
So this is, if you really want just a little smattering of Switzerland and you kind of want to see as much as you can in a week, this is definitely a good itinerary for that. Mm-hmm. However, if I were to do it again, I would probably do the self-drive, because in Switzerland, they actually do know how to drive. So, you know, it's not too bad to do it on your own.
I feel like I need to go and get in a car and see if I could handle being in a car, because I love the dang train so much.
Or go by train. Either way, yes.
Is using that. And there were some places that we had to, you know, because I piecemealed mine together and did a lot of backtracking to get to, but I wanted to spend the time in the places I wanted to spend the time in.
Correct. And so if you just want that little, like, pieces, this is a great itinerary to do.
To just get a taste of Switzerland.
A taste of Switzerland, exactly.
Maybe that's how we should probably be looking at these bus tours, like you look at cruises. You're just getting like a taste.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think the more you travel, the more your comfort level increases. You know, so if it's something like you just want it all taken care of for you and you don't want to think about it, you know, like, it's a good
option. Connor was a new driver also, and I didn't want to have to do all the driving myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, with that many breweries there's no way.
So this one, I was like, let somebody else take care of the driving, and, you know, I don't have to worry about it.
That's awesome. Yeah. All right, well, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, George, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.